Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Luke 18, especially these words. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So far, our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Prayer definitely runs through that parable and our Old Testament reading this morning. You remember the story of Jacob. His brother Esau, born just a moment before him, and Jacob never quite seemed to trust God. That theme of prayer, of trust, was missing through Jacob's early years. After all, as he grew up, he endeavored to trick his brother out of the birthright. The birthright was important back then. It wasn't just the majority of the family's property and the estate. It was also through that brother that the lineage of Christ would travel. Jacob sells Esau, his brother, that red stew for the birthright. And then, at the end of his father's life, Jacob dresses up like his brother Esau to try and trick his father. "Look, it's me, Esau. Feel my hairy arms. I've just come from the field from hunting." And so Jacob was blessed, and Esau was passed by. Did Jacob trust God and pray? No. He trusted his own ingenuity, his own cleverness, to trick his brother and his father to gain what he wanted. Of course, immediately after that, Jacob was on the run, running from his brother Esau, whom he tricked. He went to Laban and worked hard for Rachel, but got Leah, and then worked hard for Rachel and got Rachel. His wealth grew because of his ingenuity, not because of his trust in God or prayer. We never hear anything about Jacob praying or trusting in God before this time here in Genesis 32. This is a scary moment for Jacob because he's going to meet that brother whom he tricked. And he thinks there's going to be war between him and his brother. And so he sends all of his family, all of his stuff across the river to try and protect them from Esau's wrath. He knows Esau must be angry with him for all the tricks he pulled. But before he's able to meet his brother Esau, there's that guy. And Jacob wrestles with him all night. Isn't that a bit odd? These are grown men, and they're wrestling like they're kids. Eventually, Jacob's hip is put out of joint, so he can't really wrestle. But Jacob demands a blessing. "Bless me. Bless me." Jacob's name is changed to Israel, for he has striven with God and man and has prevailed. Jacob realizes that he wasn't wrestling with just some guy, but God incarnate, God in flesh, who had come down to him to challenge him to that wrestling match, to remind him who's really in control is God. Jacob should renew his trust in God, his faith in prayer. This account ends beyond where our text goes, but Jacob meets his brother Esau, and Esau is overjoyed to see Jacob. Not the way Jacob thought it would go. Jesus tells that parable to the effect that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. Can you imagine Esau over those many years after being tricked out of his birthright, praying if he could only see his brother again, to forgive him, to make amends with him? The parable that Jesus tells is kind of an odd one. After all, the primary character is an unjust judge. A guy who doesn't care about justice. A guy who just cares if you're able to pay the fee. And if you're able to pay more than the other guy, this judge will side in your favor. Not a very just judge. And there's a widow who has nothing. And she's begging to this guy for justice. Well, she's got nothing. So why would he even listen? He wouldn't. He's unjust. Doesn't care about this widow or justice. All he cares about is how much he can get. And yet, she keeps pestering him. You can imagine that. Coming to his house day and night, knocking and knocking. Give me justice. Following him throughout the streets of the city. Give me justice. Following him to the courtroom. Give me justice. And finally, the judge is so put off. He does what she wants. Not because she can pay more or because she's in the right, but because she keeps on pestering him. Wow. She wrestles with God and man and overcomes by her pestering. Jesus is not telling us to do that. Instead, it's a comparison of opposites, isn't it? How much more will a righteous and loving and merciful and compassionate God listen to his dear children than a righteous judge would listen to this widow? If the righteous judge gives in and finally listens, how much more will God listen to you? He wants to hear you. He doesn't care how much you have or who you are when it comes to earthly things. You're his own dear child. He wants to listen. He's not some unjust judge out for his own interests and doesn't care about anybody else. No, he desires to hear you, to hear what's on your heart and your mind, that you would pray back to him, that you would wrestle with him. He invites you to pray without ceasing. And he promises to hear and to listen. Isn't that wonderful, this parable? God is not some unjust judge. He is a loving and compassionate God who desires more than anything to hear you. He wanted to hear Jacob, and yet Jacob refused. And so he came down in flesh that Jacob would have no choice but to face God. And so God comes in flesh for you as well, that you would have no choice but to face him, the very flesh of Jesus, who came down to this earth to give himself for you, to show you that he is not some unrighteous judge, but he is merciful and compassionate and full of love for you. He travels on the cross. And even before you pray, even before you open your mouth to speak to him, while you were still so unrighteous, Jesus dies in your place. He grants you forgiveness even before you pray. He washes you clean through baptism. He gives you his holy word to remind you of your sin and declare that you are indeed forgiven. He gives you his word that you would read it and have a relationship with him, that you would hear him and that you would pray back to him, your petitions. That it would be a two-way street, that you would hear him and he would hear you. How wonderful that is, isn't it? That God wants a relationship with you. He's not some unjust judge. He's your heavenly Father who gives his Son. He's your brother who comes in flesh and dies in your place. That's who he is. As you pray and wrestle with him as Jacob did, you know that you are heard. You know that he supports you in those difficult moments. You know that he is in control of all things. And if he desires to answer your prayers in the affirmative, he will. If he desires to answer them in the negative because that's better for you, he will. He will always do what's best for you. Maybe not to give in to your selfish desires, your pride, but maybe to bring you low in suffering, that you would rely upon him more and more and more. Isn't that what happened to Jacob? Can you imagine every time he stood up, there was that hip out of joint, reminder of God wrestling with him, hearing him, being with him. Every time you suffer, it's the same. A reminder of God's mercy and love given to you, coming to you through the suffering and death of your beloved Savior Jesus. And so we pray back to God our petitions, our requests, because we know he hears and he answers. He is not some unjust judge. In his name, amen.